There's a huge monster gorilla that's constantly growing to outlandish proportions, loose in the streets. He's moving towards the embankment area.
Oh, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Not a Bomb Podcast. This is the podcast where we go back and talk about the theatrical bombs of the yesteryear and decide if they deserve a second chance. Brad, how are you this evening?
Sure. This shit is bananas. Oh, bully.
Oh, good. I see. You brought your sense of humor tonight. Yes, we're talking about a very British film tonight for April. Get it? So, do you want to do the formal introductions, Brad, of the film and our special guest?
Sure. The film we are going to talk about is 1961 sci-fi, I guess they categorize it as a horror film, Conga.
It's pronounced Conga.
Conga.
Conga. Sorry, yes, Conga.
And the man who likes to choke all of the monkeys. It's our buddy John. John, the greatest hug giver of all time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I brought the hams.
Very excited about your hams. Yes. This is my pick for April. And I'm pretty excited to talk about this, to be quite honest. We are using the movie science clause for this month. Is that right?
We'll get into it. There's different types of monkeys, chimpanzees, apes in this movie.
So, gorillas.
Yeah.
So I really want to get into this thing because I have no idea where you land on this. Usually we've talked about this before. We like to text behind the scenes and sometimes share like our movie going experience on this. I think you know how mine went. We'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea how this did for you. And John,
I'm a man of mystery.
I know. John, Conga, is it a film that you're familiar with? Have you seen it before?
It rang a bell, but I can't quite say that I've watched it before. So I took the approach of, hey, this will be my first watch.
Okay, perfect. Well, I can't wait to hear your opinion of this. So, Brad, let's go back to 1961. I think we don't have a ton of information on this.
We do not. Released in the U.S., because this is a U.S. podcast. Suck it, Britain.
No, don't do that.
No, we actually have a lot
of love you, Great Britain.
I know, we do. I think the Great British area is our second biggest region for downloads. So I am sorry. I apologize. So May 3rd, 1961, with a reported budget of $500,000, I converted that to $2024 dollars just for some context. And it is $5.247 million.
Oh, okay.
That is 950% growth. We have no box office information, but what we do have is Rotten Tomatoes, and it is unkind to our friend Conga. We're looking at 43% with the critics and a whopping 14% with the audience.
Yeah, so that's kind of how we picked this one. We knew critically it didn't do so hot.
Yeah. I did find a Karen review of this film, Troy.
Oh, do share.
Oh, on one Amazon.com with a 1-star review. And there are some spoilers in this, so forgive me, but this is too good to be true. The worst part about watching a movie made in 1961 is how animals were treated. The professor had a baby chimpanzee and put it in a huge prison cell. And let's see. I'm reading this verbatim.
Yeah.
The baby, all caps on baby there, chimpanzee led him to a tribe? Question mark. Now I know he's going to inject it to make it grow, but it's a baby. No yeah. blanket, no food, no nurturing. It gives me chills to think how they treated that chimpanzee to carry a tray of tea down a flight of stairs.
That's the atrocities oh, in 61. Yeah. My God.
Back then, probably negative reinforcement. the backhand is the professor's pimp hand is strong.
Yeah.
I have a big problem watching films from that era with animals in it. How could anyone give this 5 stars is beyond me. 5 stars is for well-made movies with good stories and fine acting. This had none. Least of all, any caring for that chimpanzee. Oh, wait! Exclamation point. And a chimpanzee miraculously turns into a gorilla? Lol. There's 90 minutes. And there's 90 minutes I will never get back. I'm trying to read this in my Karen way. If the movie had any heart at all, Bob would have survived. One more thing. One more thing is a complete sentence to this, Karen. She should speak to the grammar manager.
Does she work for Movie Guide? Huh? Does she work for Movie Guide?
She might. Whoever wrote the description of the movie for Amazon should have learned how to spell botanist! Exclamation point.
Okay. Is there more, or is that
that is it? That is it. That is for the special edition Blu-ray of this from Kino Lorber.
Yes, a very nice transfer, to be quite honest.
Okay, and lastly, since Troy was a young lad in 1961, he remembers films such as Return to Peyton Place.
What?
Never heard of it.
Nope.
A Raisin in the Sun.
I've heard of
the
that.
Young yeah. Savages. Yeah. Atlas, comma, The Lost Continent. Those are the movies you could have seen in 1961, May of 1961. So there you go.
Okay. Well, this will be an interesting behind the camera and in front of the camera. So let's start with director John Lamont. So not a lot to go here. His filmography goes back to The Green Buddha, 1954, some film he did.
I've smoked that before, Troy.
I'm not surprised. Various television episodes from 54 to 57, does a film called The Shakedown in 60. And Women Shall Weep was another film that he did in 1960. He does Conga in 61, that same year, The Frightened City, and then does 3 episodes of a TV series called Sir Francis Drake, and that's pretty much it for him. Now, original story and screenplay are done by 2 gentlemen, Aben Kendall and Herman Cohen. So I want to talk about Herman Cohen for a minute. Are you guys familiar with this individual?
Wasn't he, I Was a Teenage Werewolf, right?
Oh, look at you, Brad. Look at the big brain on Brad. That's awesome. So Herman was an American producer of B movies during the 1950s and helped to popularize the teen horror movie genre with films like I Was a Teenage Werewolf. So just a little context here. I Was a Teenage Werewolf cost between, let's say, $100,000 to $150,000, but it grossed over $2 million in 1957. So that was a pretty huge hit. And in
so 19, 19- about, so you said $2 million. So yeah. Using 1,000%, like $20 million.
Or yeah. Off, like off of a 100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Made bank. So Teenage Werewolf actually started, Cohen's writing, collaboration with Aben Kendall, and together they wrote the following movies: I Was a Teenage Werewolf in 57. Also, I Was a Teenage Frankenstein from 1957. How to Make a Monster in 58. Horrors of the Black Museum in 1959. The Headless Ghosts in 1959. Conga, which is the movie we're talking about today, from 1961. The Black Zoo in 63. Berserk, with an exclamation mark, in 1967. Have you guys seen that one? That's the Joan Crawford film? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And lastly, Craze in 1974. So this was a partnership that really concentrated in the shocks and thrills of that time period. Cinematography for Konga is Desmond Dickinson. And the movie, when you're watching it, right up front in the credits is photographed in Spectimation and Eastman Color. So do you guys know what Spectimation is?
No. Eastman Color, yeah. Spectimation, no.
You don't know about Spectimation? Mm-mm. Well, not surprisingly.
Is it when you jerk off to looking at old pictures?
No. That's Bradmation.
It's a Tuesday.
Spectimation was Herman Cohen's attempt to market the film as having some new revolutionary film technique, much like what he did in 59 with Horrors of the Black Museum, which was filmed in Hypnovista. So you'd watch the movie and it hypnotize you, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So Spectimation was just another form of superimposing images and trick photography. That's all it was.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So let's talk about the people in front of the camera. And we're going to spend a little time on one Mr. Michael Goff as Dr. Charles Decker. So real quick, who's going to say it first? What movie do you most associate with this actor?
Batman.
There you go. So
Batman Returns.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will remember him from the 89 Batman and then that version of the Tim Burton legacy.
He did a lot of Tim Burton films. I know he was in Sleepy Hollow and I think he did some voice work too, maybe?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
A couple of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell him who he was in Batman.
He was
Alfred Pennyworth.
Yes, Pennyworth.
He was the Joker.
No. He was the Joker. Yeah, he was a really good Joker. You know, the other film I remember him from just growing up specifically was 1984's Top Secret. As Dr. Paul Flamond.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
Hiding under the bed. Yep.
He's the guy they're breaking out of prison. So Goff's filmography goes all the way back to 1946. And some of the films that he's doing around this time that Konga came up, they're actually going to sound familiar based on what we just talked about from Cohen. But he was in Horrors of the Black Museum in 59, did Konga in 61. Same year that he did Konga, he did I Like Money in 61, and then No Place Like Homicide in 61. So very prolific actor. And I'm sure Tim Burton grew up on these movies, knew about him. And that's why we get the Alfred Pennyworth that we had in 89. Margot Johns plays Margaret. So after Konga, did one other film in 64 and then sporadically did television shows up until 1989. Claire Gordon plays Sandra Banks. So that's the, college kid love interest from the doctor. Okay.
Jailbait.
I thought this was an interesting fact about Sandra. She claimed to be the first British actress to appear fully naked on stage in a 1966 musical version of The Three Musketeers at the New Arts London Theatre. It was produced by her husband, William Donaldson, at the time.
Wow.
Yes. And then we get Jess Conrad as Bob Kenton. I guess Karen was upset about Bob's death because he does die in this film.
Oh, Bob does die. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jess was a popular singer turned actor who had minor hits in the UK with Cherry Pie, not to be confused with the Warren song, Mystery Girl, and Pretty Jenny. His recording of This Pullover was included on Kenny Everett's 1978 compilation album, The World's Worst Record Show, featuring 20 of the worst records ever made. Hmm. Cherry Pie and Why Am I Living also appeared on the album. So there you go.
Is his Cherry Pie about vagina too, or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
His might have been more wholesome. It might have actually been about Cherry Pie.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah.
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 Two other names, Austin Trevor's Dean Foster, who ends up dead in the film, and Jack Watson plays Superintendent Brown. But really, this movie's just more about a guy in a gorilla suit and Michael Goff and Margot Johns as Margaret. I mean, those are who you're going to spend the most time with. Production and development. So little bit of information. As Cohen had long admired King Kong, he thought of a giant ape film shot in color. Due to Cohen's success with his I Was a Teenage Werewolf from 1957, American International Pictures used I Was a Teenage Gorilla as the working title. Cohen paid RKO Pictures $25,000 for
for the rights to name to the name of Kong for exploitation purposes, which is, hey, look, weird. If somebody wants to pay me $25,000 to use my name for exploitation services,
yeah,
go right on ahead.
Yep.
The gorilla suit used in Konga was owned by ape actor George Barrows and had already appeared in several films, most notably Gorilla at Large. For the movie, Herman Cohen hired the suit, but not George Burroughs. Paul Stockman was the actor inside the ape suit. And the film was distributed in the United States by American International Pictures as a double feature with another film from 1961, Master of the World. I think that was based on Jules Verne story, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Novelization of the film was released in paperback at the time of its original release, Konga by Dean Owen, which I'm now on the hunt for because I want to read the novelization. And John, I thought this is right up your alley. So I do want to ask you about this. From 1960 to 1965, Charlton Comics published 23 issues of the comic book Konga. It included work by Spider-Man co-creator Steve Ditko. The series was renamed Fantastic Giants with issue 24, which turned out to be the last issue of the series. Have you read this series, John?
Not until yesterday.
Oh, okay. You just...
And...
All of it?
Not all of it. I read the first four issues, and I was kind of blown away.
Really?
So number one, first issue, Konga number one. This came out after the movie, apparently, of course. The great, late great Steve Ditko, right? It covers the movie as we view it and as we'll talk about it. However, Lord have mercy, should he have been the director, because the comic is so much better.
Well,
as I went
challenge, right? But okay, keep going.
Yeah, okay. No. You will have to see. In Konga 2, now get this. This is what kind of threw me when I got to issue 2. I'm like, wait a minute.
Konga 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, hey. Oh. Anyway, breakdancing. Konga 2.
That would be a... If that guy in the monkey suit did breakdancing, sign me up.
Oh, Trip Boogaloo? Oh, hell yeah. He's still around, yeah. Konga 2 introduces a new monkey. And where the comics detour from the movie... Bob is still alive. You know, Bob, the guy who spells his name backwards. Yeah, he's still alive.
Wait, Moped and, Bob?
Yeah, Moped Bob.
Okay.
Yep.
See, Troy, his name is a palindrome, so it's same forward as backwards.
Okay. Cool.
he said Bob, the guy who spells his name backwards.
No, I got the joke the first time. Yep.
Okay, yep. Sorry.
Well, we weren't sure, but anyway. But here's why I thought, wow, this comic... You know, Konga ripped off from, you know, of course, the original King Kong, 1933. Great movie. But Konga number two introduces some things I think that might have been lifted and used in Jackson's 2005 King Kong. Because in Konga issue number two, he fights a T-Rex.
Well, wasn't that in the original King Kong?
No. But he fought Snake. Anyway, I might be wrong. Anyway, Konga number three.
Well, now
it actually kind of has a tie to 1976's King Kong, because in issue three, he apparently lands on an island. Is it Skull Island? I have no idea, but hey, there's another possible link to
how does he get there?
Oh, so apparently he washes ashore, he drowns, and then washes ashore.
Was he Jason Bourne?
I hope to God he was. That would be awesome. But then, and this is where it gets a little funny. The last issue that I actually sat and read was Konga number four. And this has probably one of the greatest covers I've seen. It's Konga chasing down, you know, he has the jet planes and tanks shooting at him, but he's chasing down Adolf Hitler.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That goes and, places.
Yeah. And in that issue, apparently in 1961, Hitler was still alive, roaming around secretly in a submarine. And Konga in the comic kills Hitler.
Wow.
Yeah.
Konga, so, the hero we didn't know that we wanted.
You know,
John?
Yeah.
The Not a Bomb slush fund doesn't have a whole lot of money. Did you spend a lot of money when your expense report comes in? Did you spend a lot of money on these comics or did you get them in another way?
You will find out when you get over here in September.
Okay.
Well, so interesting. Now, I'm really confused. I need to go back and watch the 33 King Kong because I can't remember what he fought. You're right. There was three T-Rexes in the Peter Jackson one, right?
Right.
Okay.
And then the giant snake in 76's and, you know, issue number three, he fights a giant snake.
Okay.
And, you know, there was an issue called Return of Konga. It's a special edition. It was a one-shot where apparently he finds a mate called Torga.
Torga. Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, so his comic run, I'm going to try and hawk down the other issues because it was, like I said, it was kind of fascinating. Some of the parallels and where it's trying to rip off King Kong. I'm like, hey, did somebody get some ideas from this comic book?
But well, yeah, if anybody's interested, there's actually two volumes. So the Konga collection you can get on Amazon is a reproduction set.
Did they spell collection with a K?
Collection with a K. I don't think so, but okay. Oh. It's just regular spelled collection. They're paperback editions, and you can get, I think, the 23 issue run.
Yep. Yep.
Or in the UK, if you want to spend a little money, there's actually a hardbound folio version in a nice, I can't remember who published it, but, you can find it on the internet. It looks gorgeous. It's about $70 though per book.
Yeah.
How many books are there?
I don't remember.
I think there was two officially published.
Okay. Well, but, Konga, the thing about those folios is apparently there's Konga, the comic book series, but he also appeared in a 3-issue miniseries that started off as Return of Konga before it was renamed Konga's Revenge with issue 2. That might be what you were talking about, John, because that ran from 62 to 64.
Well, that's where I found some, it was quite interesting because you're right. Yeah. It started off Return of Konga, right? That came out. Then yeah. Konga's Revenge number 2. Then Konga's Revenge number 3. That was the final one in 1964. But then in 1968, Konga's Revenge issue number 1 comes out.
Oh, okay.
Volume 2?
No, issue number 1. But what they didn't tell you, it said, you know, basically backed by popular demand, it was a reprint of Konga's Revenge number 3.
I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Well, I know in 90, Steve Ditko illustrated a backup story in Web of Spider-Man Annual 6 called Child Star. And in this story, Captain Universe creates huge versions of toys based on Gorgo and Konga to battle giant mm-hmm. monsters that are attacking the neighborhood. For copyright reasons, Konga's name was altered to Kongo. And this sequence was Ditko playing homage to his earlier work with these two characters in their 1960s Charlton Comics comic book series. So I think Charlton Comics, I don't know if these are in public domain now. I feel like they are because it's not hard to get these issues that are just basically reprints or like digital reprints of the Charlton Comics.
Yeah. So Charlton, I think if I remember right, went under the Atlas Comics, which in turn was the precursor to Marvel, or was it DC? God, I can't remember exactly. But they went under the one of the big two.
Right.
So I'd be surprised if they were in the public domain, but they might be.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it was amazing to me how many companies could go out there and publish this or basically these reprints. And I'm definitely going to seek it out. I don't know about you guys. There is something about the giant ape or giant gorilla genre, be it movies, comics, whatever, I get super excited about.
Yeah, this one was exciting. The comic books, like I said, when I read the first four issues, it was fascinating because, again, one of the characters I thought shouldn't have been appeared, Bob, he's there with Sandra. Apparently they're married. And the main theme with those two characters is they're trying to help that new Konga, the second monkey, return to normal size.
Return to monkey size?
Yeah. But it's weird because they, in issue number 4, or was it 5? I started skipping ahead. But like 5, they were introducing how he's irradiated Godzilla Kong people. Radiation comes into play. So it was really weird how they kind of went off the wall bonkers with some of these stories. But it was one of those things I was like, man, these should have been the movie. These should have been the movie. Well, maybe, maybe not.
All right. Well, let's get into the film. How about we take a quick break and let's share our thoughts on our viewing experience of 1961's Konga. So stay tuned.
Well, you see what I get from the refreshment counter. Oh, boy, popcorn and hot dogs and ice cream. And, oh, boy, sparkling ice-cold Coca-Cola. Oh, boy, that tastes good. Have you been to the refreshment counter?
Remember, your favorite snack will taste especially good with world-famous ice-cold Coca-Cola.
The only good human is a dead human!
The bizarre world you met on the planet of the apes was just the beginning. What lies beneath may be the end. 20th Century Fox takes you beneath the planet of the apes. This is the year 3955 AD. The apes are building a war machine aimed at planet domination. Superhuman mutants strike back with new and terrifying weapons of the mind. In the atomic rubble of what was once the city of New York, civilization's final battle is about to begin.
The only good human is a dead human!
Beneath the planet of the apes, with James Franciscus, Kim Hunter, Maurice Evans, Linda Harrison, and Charlton Heston. Can a world long endure half ape, half man? The answer lies deep beneath the planet of the apes. In color, rated G, general audiences.
We're back. John, it's been a while since you've been on the show, so let's start with you. First time watch of 61's Konga. What'd you think of it? How'd it go?
So the first time I watched it, I laughed a lot. Not because it made me laugh, it's because of what I was watching. So then I watch it a second time, and then I put myself in, like, you know, Christopher Reeve, somewhere in time. I put myself in 1961's audience to examine it. I like the movie.
Okay.
It came
you
out.
You mean Christopher Lloyd?
No, Christopher Reeve.
Sorry.
Oh, you mean Bob. Okay, Bob. Okay. It has been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed it. Bishop actually watched it with me the second go around, and he said, you know, for its special effects, they were actually pretty cool for that time. But he had a lot of questions, explained it to him, and I had questions. And as I the second watch, it helped answer some of them. And then again, when I read Konga issue number one, I was like, man, it's almost verbatim the movie, like, you know, the Creepshow comics. But there were some scenes that I was like, wow, that would have added just a little bit more context and probably a little bit better continuity to the movie. But in the end, I enjoyed it. Now, I will say it got me curious as I was searching it, because when I first looked at it, I saw it was Konga 1961. Then I saw, I guess, its spiritual successor or remake.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot about this. You had told me that there was a sequel.
Yes. Well, sequel, remake, I'm not sure. It was Konga TNT, released in 2021.
Wow.
That movie, I will say this. If you like Konga TNT, you're definitely a fan of Ouija Shark.
What?
Yes. Like Ouija board,
okay.
Ouija Shark. That's the Brett Kelly is the director. This movie, I think, was one of those movies they got together and made during COVID.
Is it like a Sci-Fi Channel movie?
It was, but it actually had a VHS DVD release and eventually a Blu-ray.
Konga TNT.
Konga TNT. And I will say this is a movie that you definitely have to watch with friends, with alcohol, some of the good gummies.
Buy this right now, and when I'm there, we are watching.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, that's just silly, of course.
Yeah. But after watching that, I watched Konga 1961 a third time, because I was then kind of enamored with the special effects that they have put in it, you know, scaling size, not the woobly 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 when he, you know, grows and stuff, but it was just like looking at some of the models and how they put some stuff together. And I came at the end of it all, I came to say, you know what, this movie wasn't that bad.
So the spectimation really dazzled you, huh?
It must have hypnotized me somehow.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. I'm assuming that like older monster films are a bit of your jam as well too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Brad, I made you watch Konga, and it wasn't for a Breaking Brad episode on top of that.
it was not.
Yeah. And I gotta be honest with you. These are the type of films I just never know where you're going to land on it, because I do think with this film, you have to watch it in the right context. And this absolutely feels like a group watch. So first time watch for you, because I know you hadn't seen this before. What did you think of Konga?
Let me lay down the scenario in which I watched this. The first time, I made it about 12 minutes and I fell asleep.
Oh,
now,
boy.
Granted, we just got a new couch. I usually don't watch movies upstairs. Sure, you know, I have a dedicated spot to watch movies.
Yep.
But I was like, oh, it's on Prime. I'll throw it on Prime. I'll check it out. Immediately fell asleep. Like, almost immediately. Went to watch it the next day in the evening. Got a little too off kilter, if you will, and kind of forgot most of it. So then it took me a third time. So this took me about 3.5 days to finish.
Can I ask just the logistics of this? When you watch the first 12 minutes, you fall asleep. When you try it the second time, do you go back and rewatch the 12 minutes, or do you start at minute 13?
For something like this where I fall asleep, it's like, I don't know where I fell asleep. So let's just start over. You know, I like the genre. I like the like guy in a rubber suit, or like a lot of the old school Godzilla. This one I kind of hated. It was a rough watch. It's so slow, and they're like, the movie they're trying to make and the movie they make, I think, are two different things. Like, the movie should be about Konga. And it's about a botanist at one point in time. Then it's about a relationship between two kids that are in his class that has really nothing to do with the movie. So it just goes off on tangents. Like, it's a bit rudderless, if you will, to steal a term from Sammy. It doesn't feel like it's going in a straight line. And I can forgive a lot of the special effects because it's 1961. There are a lot of times where I feel like those are they have like a charm to them. For some reason, I just was not feeling this movie. And when you're not feeling it, the charm goes right out the door. So things start to bother you a bit. There's a lot of times where a man in a giant monkey suit is holding like a Barbie doll in his hand and then throws it.
You know, 61 like, special effects. It's fantastic. You know,
I that sounds like it would be funny, and like when I'm saying it, it's like, oh, that's probably pretty funny. It just doesn't, and like, it's not really. There's a lot of people falling, and you just get the reaction of the crowd as they fall. Again, it's 1961, so I don't want to be too harsh, but I think my main problem is the movie's just boring. Like,
oh my God,
it is so boring.
Oh my God,
so boring. It's 90 minutes. It feels like 900.
I can't
tell you how much, like, I was like, man, Troy and I have been friends for a long time. And there's just times where he just gives me these movies that are just, they're atrocious. They're really atrocious. But then
you're breaking my heart. You're breaking my heart.
You broke my heart, Troy. You broke my heart. but I think, okay, well, if I was in a group of people, this would be an absolute blast. Like, I would have so much fun. Like, this is a Riff Tracks come to life. Like, it really is. Like, you could Mystery Science Theater this thing the whole way through, and it would be so much fun. I watched it by myself and had zero fun. I had the inverse of fun.
It felt like homework, is what you're saying.
It did. Like, I had to finish it. I had to finish like the last 20 minutes today.
Wow.
Because I just kept putting it off. I was like, I really don't want to watch the end of this thing. I hate this thing so much. I just feel like it is really, really boring. And I kind of hate the doctor. Is the botanist is maybe the worst person ever.
well, but it is. So it's week two of
and I'm already feeling out of sorts, Troy.
No, I was just gonna say, just like Monkey Shines, your humans, I feel, are people you can't exactly get behind, mm-hmm. right? So whereas, you know, you're supposed to feel I don't know, some sympathy for the guy in the wheelchair, which I don't. This one has a mad scientist. It's all about the mad scientist and what he's doing to.
But I wish he was more mad. Like, I wish he would lean.
He's not mad enough.
I he needs to be like more ha-ha-ing at times. Like,
what movie did you watch? He was doing that all the. He walks into another scientist's house and he's like, "Oh, right, you know, I'm doing the same experiments, and I'm not going to let you do those experiments." And then the ape comes out and strangles him.
Yeah, I know. But like, I don't know.
He shoots a cat.
Just, yeah,
that was awesome. He shoots a cat.
That was awesome.
Okay, Okay.
How much evil do you want a guy? He shoots a cat. Well, the cat licked some green Gatorade off the floor, and he shot a cat.
Yep.
Okay. You know what? You might have me there. The guy did shoot a cat. Okay. Okay, so maybe he's a little bit more mad than I thought. Shooting a cat and saves it a little bit. The thing that I will say that I enjoy.
I can't, you know, believe you
shoot
just
a kid or you shoot a cat.
Shoot a kid or good. Shoot a cat. Brad's like, well, I'll give you a star for that.
One of the things I will give you a full star for is you inject a chimpanzee with something and turn it into a gorilla. Or an ape, I'll give you a star.
Okay.
This thing would have been a 0 out of 10. It's like a 1.5 or 2 out of 10 because of that. It's pretty spectacular. I did have a little bit of enjoyment, but I hated 95% of it.
Wow.
Oh, shoot a cat.
and monkey into a gorilla suit. Those are the two stars you're giving it out
with
of the
Wayne's
10.
World doodly doos. Yeah. Do you doodly do a chimpanzee to a ape or a gorilla? I'm on board. Let's doodly do some shit.
Wow. Okay.
Can we do that? Like, is doodly do like a? Can we use that for like changing in? You know, like,
I'm sure we could. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
We can in and out of an intro or something. Yeah. Okay. So full disclosure. I feel like we all watch this multiple times.
Some of us on purpose and others not, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I had to watch the film twice, or at least the last 30 minutes twice, because during my first viewing of the movie, I didn't remember the last 30 minutes, although I know I watched it with, I think, my one of my good friends, Kevin, and I think my daughter was there too. So watching Conga while drinking Juicy Monkey Hazy Imperial IPA, Golden Monkey Belgian Triple, and 99 Proof Banana Liqueur turned into a bit of a challenge at the end, especially because we kept stopping the film and Kevin and I would only talk in British accents the rest of the evening, which apparently drove everybody in the house crazy. I don't remember after a certain point of the film or that night. I do remember waking up on the floor of our movie theater and really, I couldn't make any sense of my notes.
And your jaw hurt?
My jaw was fine. But All I remember is trying to pick myself up off the floor. Kevin was snoring in the theater seat. He was passed out. The TV was still playing. And I made it as far as like the futon in the basement and crashed out there. But I do want to share my notes so that you can get a feel, because I apparently was taking notes even during the parts I don't remember. So I will share that, but I want to counter your argument, Brad, with three specific details of why this movie's just amazing. First of all, Michael Goff is chewing up more scenery than a man in a gorilla suit can tear down the scenery. He is amazing in this film. Absolutely amazing. A monkey being transformed into a man in a gorilla suit is the kind of movie science I adore and live for in these type of films.
Why is his eyes always like a deer in headlights? His eyes are so wide open.
Tell me he did not look like Chris Farley. And he was about to yell out something about being down by the river. I swear to God.
He has Chris Farley eyes in a monkey, or excuse me, a gorilla mask, ape mask. I'm not quite sure. And then the third reason, and it goes right along with this movie science, is the movie's called Conga, but it's really about, it should have been called like Mad Botanist, right? So throughout the entire film, you get not only wacky movie science, but you get wacky movie science experimental plants. And there's three plants in the background in a lot of scenes that just make me laugh so hard.
They look like dicks with tongues.
Well, I was gonna say the first one does look like a Scooby-Doo penis plant. So it's a large plant that's shaped like a penis, but has a Scooby-Doo tongue hanging out.
It also has like some veins on it too.
Yeah, it's all veiny. Yeah,
I'm sorry. It looked like he was chewing on a pad.
Yeah. The second one was a giant Venus flytrap that eats raw red meat or young female arms, because one of the young ladies like trips into the plant and it just starts gnawing on her arm.
Sandra, please.
Yeah, Sandra. And then the last one looks like this. It, you know how toads or frogs, when they're making the noise and their neck like expands. Yeah. So there's a giant toad throat plant in the back, or I'll use a terminology that we threw around in British accents that night. Oh, look, it's a ball sack plant, because that's what it looked like as well. And
a scrotal sack.
Yeah. So you've got Michael Goff, in so many scenes, like pontificating about his experiments and being all mad scientist-like in front of these three plants while he's throwing like red meat into them. And going on and on about how he's going to just like change the world or rule the world with Conga. I don't understand how you cannot love this film. Maybe it was the influence of the things that I was drinking at that time. But even going back and watching those 30 minutes or so, just, you know, dead sober, I still had a lot of fun with it, to be quite honest. And I was by myself during that time period. I think this is a really fun, goofy guy in an ape suit movie that happens to have one of the just best mad scientist performances you're going to find in these type of films with Michael Goff, to be quite honest.
Yeah. So for me, the funnier part was his portrayal of that being that wacky scientist. God, Lord have mercy. It parallels like today's world, right? If we were to take about how he wants to crossbreed this to make better humans, and he's no one else is going to stand in his way, and hey, you get in my way, I'm going to destroy you. It was like, wow. You know, then I started thinking about it. to Brad's point, yeah, there's a little boredom in it, but I think it's because the story revolved around the people, right? And Conga was just there to show that, well, once you get to a certain point, if you're crazy enough, this is what's going to happen to you. Right. But yeah, some of it just, while being absurd, I understood what they were going with the characters, especially, right. You know, especially the drama between him and Sandra, and then, oh God, one of the best fight scenes I ever saw in a while. I mean, it rivals Gymkhana, with him and Bob and Decker just, you know, pow, just smacks the shit out of him. It's just it he was does great.
Pimp-hand that little boy to boy.
Yeah, he does. In his little little cashmere sweater. But then at the end of it, to your point, yeah, the exposition of each character, so kind of like over the top or under the table, I thought it was fun. That's just me.
I agree.
Can we admit that this movie is just a big allegory for slavery, though?
Do what?
It's just an allegory for slavery.
How is it an allegory for slavery?
Well, Troy, so once upon a time, there was a derogatory word for people of color of African-American descent. They were called monkeys. And this is about a man who goes to a foreign country, takes a monkey from its country, brings it back, essentially breeds it or
breeds it.
He doesn't. There's it. No breeding.
Grooms it.
No wonder he shot the cat.
And then he hypnotizes it. He doesn't groom it. He just hypnotizes him.
Once it gets to a certain age, starts to become its master, if you will. Then there's a revolt. So
No. See, no, absolutely not. What the hell is wrong with you?
It's clearly not analogous analogous to the slave
dude. This
trade.
Is a guy who made I Made a Teenage Werewolf movie or whatever, and is like, oh, I like King Kong. Let's do a King Kong ripoff and put a guy in a suit and he goes around tearing up things. There's no allegory for anything.
You see it one way, I see it another, Troy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so let's put a third perspective in here, right? The monkey, you know, Conga did not go crazy. Excuse me, y'all, till the lady got involved.
Oh my God. Look, I will give you that the whole Margaret Decker relationship doesn't quite make sense because she knows he's going around murdering people with the gorilla ape person. And still is more worried about like when they're going to get married or hooked up. And the only time she kind of goes crazy is when she finds out that he has a thing for Sandra and she's going to get, you know, booted to the side. And then she goes to hypnotize the monkey, but it doesn't work out for her. But there's no allegories. I mean, this is just.
Then she turns into a Barbie doll.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And they get yeeted. Yeah. That was awesome. But I mean, she gets crazy and you know, what can you say? It's just you know, more you talk about allegories, right? It's the hidden lover or you know, more proof to the old adage about work, you know, where you know, don't shit where you eat.
Because what? who does that? Well, wait, I no.
Yeah.
Is that right? I don't know that's how it goes.
I don't know that's that sounds
but also to your point, you know, if you look at the comic, Conga number one. He doesn't take the monkey, which, by the way, in the movie and in the comic, they really don't explain how he survives a plane crash with two sets of camera, all his gear, while all the shit's on fire. So neither here nor there. But in the comic, the tribe that, you know, Conga apparently leaded him to, they gave him the plants and their blessing to take Conga and pursue his mad scientist ways. Like, here's a crazy white boy. Go on. Get out of here.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is just a facsimile of King Kong done with a more botanist take on it, more or less. And I think it works for 60s, you know, giant monster cinema, more or less.
Oh, it does. That's all good and well, Troy, but get to your damn notes.
Oh, my notes? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I will read these in the order that I printed them off from.
These are chronological, correct?
This is chronological.
Here we go, folks.
I do have a question for you guys real quick. We maybe have not talked about it in this detail, but when you're watching a film, do you take notes while you watch the movie or do you watch the movie with its full attention and then take notes after? I mean, how does it work? I'll start with you, John. Do you take notes at all or do you just come on here and come on the show and wing it?
Half and half. There are times I like to wing it, but other times like this movie, I had to watch it. And then again, as I said, on the second watch, I had to watch it and pay attention. And then I went back and took some notes and thoughts. And then that's where I really delved into the comic side of the movie and, took even more notes. So you know, it was a fascinating trip. Something from 1961 that, again, basically your first watch, like, led me down so many rabbit holes. It was kind of a fun trip.
Okay. How do you do it, Brad?
It depends. For something like this, I will watch and take notes at the same time, because I'm not getting the most intellectually stimulating film, I know. But for something, say, like Blade Runner 2049, I'll watch the whole thing, kind of take my initial notes, and then if I want to go back and pick out this or pick out that, I'll go back through it. It just kind of depends on the assignment, if you will.
Okay. Yeah, I think you and I are the same. So if we're watching something that I think is going to be a bit more heady or intellectual, I'll watch it without distraction, then write some stuff down afterwards, then go back and watch scenes and then take notes while I'm watching the scenes. Mm-hmm. If it's something like this, I've got my phone out with the notepad. And when I see something, I'll type a quick note, like a quick sentence. And it's just meant to jog my memory so that when I go back and sit down and want to write things out, I'll be like, oh, well, that's what that meant. And this is what I was trying to say with it. Right.
Before you read yours.
Yeah.
I usually don't pull up my phone here, but here's my first note.
Okay.
Nope. Fuck Troy. Not taking notes.
Okay. All right. Well, here is the chronological order of my note-taking during Conga. So, what is he doing with that monkey? He is aggressively petting that monkey and talking about their special relationship. I don't know about this. That's my first note. This guy's hair can't make up its mind on what color it wants to be. So that's Michael Goff. It's a weird hair color going on. There's a lot of movie science explanation in the beginning. What the fuck? He shot the cat, and then they show the dead cat. Great, another dick protagonist. That was a...
Oh, yeah, they show the cat. Like, the cat is bleeding.
Yeah, it's...
So awesome.
It's not awesome. No, bad. I can't wait to hear what Brad thinks of these plants. That was a note.
About the dick plants?
Yeah. Instead of frozen brain flakes mixed with Gatorade, we get plant juice injected into monkey butts. And that's not a monkey anymore. That guy's in an ape suit with crazy eyes. So that was that note. And he can hypnotize the guy in an ape suit with a flashlight. So just make a note there. Now I'm going to read these as they're written. Okay. Wait, he's not married to Margaret. I assume they were married.
Yeah, that's the thing. I always thought they were married, but then all of a sudden he's like, we'll get married.
Yeah. I had that same thing in the beginning where I'm like, whoa, wait, what did I miss? She stuck around for a year taking care of everything and they're not married, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, okay. Oh yeah.
Is she getting dick?
From somebody. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you wait around for a while. Like he must have. Like, you know, his trouser snake, if you will, must be just mythical.
It could
be.
A
woman stays around for a year waiting for you.
She's just, it's Michael Goff. I mean,
she's waiting for that dick. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, next note. Okay, what is up with Miss Rocket Bra? And I guess I put this in quotations.
Why? Because they were kind of pointy?
They were pointy, yeah.
No, they were hostile projectiles.
Yes.
Those are equilateral triangles, sure.
they were, yes. And I, of all people, should understand growth. I bet Dr. Monkey Abuser, but it looks like that student got a hold of some of your serum and injected them into their poopies.
Wait, read the first part of that note.
It's in quotations. I guess I'm quoting something from the movie. Of all people, should understand growth. That's something that he says.
I, as in Troy Sauer.
No, this is the doctor. Growth. That's why I put quotations.
Gotcha.
Okay, I'm just letting you know, this is where we get, so full disclosure.
Is this not safe for work?
None of this is. This whole episode isn't. Extra caribular, of course. Okay, doctor is creepy. Did he ever look Bruce Wayne and offer extra caribular? Then I don't finish spelling it. Activities. If he did, he would get a batarang to his butler nuts. So, Yeah.
Is that curricular, extracurricular, Troy?
I think
curricular.
I was trying to spell curricular. Yeah.
Caribular.
Caribular. For an ape movie, not enough ape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this note means. These people's tests are terrible. Yeah. Just, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. If some dude walks into my house with a trench coat and gloves, fuck that guy.
Yeah, he definitely had like, hey, I'm going to come murder you later. Can we make an appointment so I can murder you?
Yeah.
He was like, sure. Come on over about midnight.
Yeah.
When it's nice and dark and no one can hear me.
Could you stand around on this plastic while we have our discussion?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Conga tearing up that professor's lab is so, there's a lot of O's there, mm-hmm. non-scary. He's not into it or something. Conga's eyes are creepy. This really is the best ape move about apes without that much apes doing ape stuff. College kids in a black van with no windows. They are getting murdered. Looks like rocket bra lady is getting diddled in the front seat, then murdered. Okay, who needs a passing grade that bad? more plant talk. So, and there's a lot of O's there. Much plant talk. Okay, this one's a long one, apparently. Okay, you just strangled your professor and you are sorry and you think everything is going to be fine. You not smell the back of that van you rode around. And that guy has a guy in an ape suit, some sweaty guy in an ape suit sitting in that van and you didn't smell that.
Yeah, you know that ape is shitting in the back of that van. Yeah. You don't get the smell of ape shit out of your van.
Yeah.
Especially not in 1961. They don't have like OxyClean or anything like that. It's just...
Yep.
Yeah.
Wait, who dresses up like that for dinner? Three-piece suits. We don't say play it cool. British people stuffy. Oh, I like this one. And when I went back and rewatched some of this, and it makes total sense. Conga runs like Steven Seagal. Conga has a saggy crotch, which he did.
He does have a saggy crotch, yep.
And back to the van after running like Seagal, all sweaty. That's got to stink. Conga sweats, right? Do apes sweat? Fine internet monkey sweat. And sweat is spelled S-W-E-T.
I believe monkeys do sweat.
Do they?
They do.
So Conga's taint smells just absolutely rancid.
His saggy.
Again, you're not getting that saggy taint smell out of your van.
Conga in Smell-O-Vision.
That should have been what is it? Filmed in Smell-O-Vision. Buy more Hazy Monkey beer, fave. Okay. Cops, fink, chimp, hair. Hey, how about Dr. Guy hard petting monkey and giving interviews and hard petting the guy in the suitie, but before the butt plant juice, that guy look over that guy.
That one.
Yeah. Lady's bra is out of control. She can't. Anna to calamity be like this. Gotta be bra thing. Anna to calamity. She can't.
Oh my God.
Anatomically. I was trying to spell anatomically. That's anatomically. Okay. She can't anatomically be like this. Anna to calamity. All right. There we go. Oh boy. More. Are you okay, Brad? You all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you know me, Troy. Like when I start to laugh really hard, it's the cough from, you know.
Yep. More plant. I need monkey. Mm-hmm. Okay. Nobody else with the Scooby dupe tongue, just me. How is he nut cut from rocket bra from offensive kissing? I think that's aggressive.
Aggressive?
Yeah.
So was that like, how did he not
cut himself?
Like, oh, but you said nut. So like, I thought maybe like you were talking about like a premature ejaculation situation.
No, well, could be. I don't know what I was thinking at this point. Overacting, overgropping. I think that's... supposed to be groping.
Groping?
Yeah.
Yep.
Stifling. Remember stifling. No clue.
Okay.
More hypnotizing.
You're supposed to remember it.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. More hypnotizing. Try Tabitha. More sandwiches.
now you're talking. Yeah. Now you're talking.
bigger conga, bigger saggy crotch. Where did he get doll? Ja plant ate her. British Army golf cart tank. Can't hit with rocket launcher. Try rocket bra.
She's got two missiles.
Conga can act. Death seems sad, and death is spelled D-E-T-H. No more dead, D-E-D, monkey street, deed, doc, and fank monkey. Yeah. I think that's 100%. 100%. Fake monkey. I know that one's fake.
Oh,
dead doc and dead doc
doctor,
and
like dead doctor.
Dead doctor and fake monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was my last note. Yeah. There you go.
True, I think you might have drank too much.
Yeah, I got up. That was awesome. That was awesome.
Well, there's my notes from Conga, and that's why we had to rewatch that. I'm sorry, Brad, you didn't have. I think we would have had a blast if you and I had watched this together. Kev and I had a great time.
It sounds like it.
Yes, I don't have much of a liver left, but you know, even outside of I agree with you, the riff tracks take on it. But still, I could see myself, you know, if I can watch some of the Rubber Suit Godzilla, Son of Godzilla, that kind of stuff, I 100% can find myself watching Conga again.
But Godzilla's in those goddamn movies.
No, Conga's in this film.
Not really.
Yes, he is.
He's in there, but...
Not enough.
Okay.
You can't argue that. He's not in it enough.
I'm not arguing that, but even when he's not in that, I got a mad scientist doing mad scientist things, and he's great.
You wanted to see that saggy taint running around.
The Steven Seagal saggy crotch conga?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just saying that's icing on the cake, but I still like the mad scientist film thing. It's fun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to convince you of this.
Maybe I had a little bit more fun than I let on now thinking about it. Cause there are some scenes I'm like, okay, that's pretty fun. I still have a problem. It's the second act, like with those kids and the relationship. You're like, I don't give a shit about this. Let me see Conga like kill people. And
but they had some stuff. They introduced a lot of some awesome music too. I mean, how could you not sit there and groove to that?
Oh yeah. With the radio
hip music going on.
Yeah. With George Harrison, the guy's like, hey, how about we put on some tunes?
Yeah.
Man, remember the days when you had to carry a radio and you had to carry a notepad and you had to carry all of this stuff and it wasn't just on a little device that you just like, everything okay. There? Yeah.
I'm going on we're going on a field trip to go pick some plants. It starts raining and I gotta go into a creepy cabin and like, no, this is cabin in the woods all of a sudden. Like we're all dying here.
All right. Well, they were in a. They got into a black van to get a good grade. They
did, okay, so they went from creepy van to creepy cabin.
Yeah. And they survived. Yeah.
I mean, again, that back of that van smells like absolute shit and piss and sweat taint. Like, come on, you're not getting that out. If that's in the upholstery, Troy, it's never coming out.
I don't think there was upholstery. I think it was just like metal. So you probably sprayed it out. He's fine.
Yeah, it was a kidnap van.
It was totally a kidnap van.
It was like comically small too. Like the whole class was not fitting in that van.
Yes, I don't think they would get away with that in today's environment. Okay. Well, what else do you guys have about this film? Anything?
Well, I was, you know, the second watch for me. Going into the special effects, you know, the doodly doos took away from it a little bit, but again, some of the scale modeling looked pretty good. Big Ben, the army guys, to your point. Yeah. Bishop had the same question. They can't hit shit with that rocket. What's wrong with them? But then, you know, they had the tracer fire and I'm looking at it. I was like,
what's wrong with them is their toys.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not real.
But it was pretty good.
I say that you mentioned the scale. So there's a couple of sequences. I'm thinking towards the end where Conga gets the last injection in his arm and he grows big in the basement.
Yep, that's the scene.
The model work looks great, but the way that he swipes everything off that table was way too careful. It wasn't even a swipe. It was more like, I'm going to gradually push. It's like how cats, they're staring at you and they are just slowly working something to the edge of the table and it falls off. That's right, what he does with his arm.
To the head,
yeah, right before the shot. Yeah. Twice.
Oh my God. Yes. Right.
He should have double tapped that cat just to make sure.
Hey, no, he shouldn't have.
Oh,
he did.
Pat.
Yep. He popped that pussy.
But
yeah, he did.
Why? What's wrong with the cat growing a little bit? I don't understand that part.
Well, like you said, cats can be assholes. So can you imagine a big cat like that being an asshole? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess
could you imagine a giant pussy, Troy?
No, I can't. Sure,
dude,
can't.
those dick plants.
And that's where I was going next for the special effects. It's like you said, that scene where he grows and the house model, very well done. I thought it was pretty good. But then the scene she gets her arm, she's like fisting. She's fisting the Venus flytrap.
She fell into it. She wasn't fisting it. She fell into the.
Watch the movement, because it didn't help. They had like white foam constantly building up around her arm.
No,
like,
she's trying to pull her arm out. She wanted to.
Yeah. Out, in, out.
No, she wasn't going in. She was going out.
No. Okay.
All right.
And then the special effect that disturbed me the most, I mean, it was pretty bad. Conga dies. He turns back into the chimpanzee.
The fake monkey, or excuse me, fank monkey.
Fank monkey.
Yeah.
Turns into the fank monkey. And the way they had him splayed out, I swear, my first thought was that monkey got abused on Epstein's Island and here he lays now.
Oh, well.
It was just.
You went there.
It was kind of a raw.
You went there. Okay.
Right, yeah. Crazy right. Way they had that monkey splayed out.
It was a little weird. Like that monkey then gets a chalk outline. Like it's a weird way.
Right. It's like
poor thing.
I agree. I didn't get an Epstein Island vibe off of that, but I did get a chalk outline.
Well, again, watching her fist the plant and
oh my God,
penis plants chewing the pads. I mean, come on.
This is why we can't have anything nice. Okay.
Go ahead.
Real quick. We just got done talking about Conga from 1961. John, I'm gonna let you start. Is Conga a bomb?
In my mind, I have to honestly say no. I think if you can take yourself a little bit out of today's times, give it a fair shot. Yes, there's a little bit of dialogue in there. Well, a lot of dialogue. But for that period timepiece, I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was fun. That's again. Not a bomb for me.
And you recommend the comics so far?
I definitely recommend the comics. I'm going to try and hunt those down and see if I can do a little follow-up feedback later. But they were great. And, you know, Steve Ditko being involved with those? Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, Brad, we know you're just going to suck the fun out of this episode. Is it a bomb, Brad?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say it is a bomb.
Okay.
I think you guys are crazy. I
think you're crazy, Brad.
That headband's on too tight.
Yes. It's not a bomb. It's at least 5 bananas out of 5. I think we're rating this on bananas, right? Yeah. So, Brad, we have a lot of feedback this week.
There's so much feedback.
Yeah, I feel bad because we're supposed to be talking about ape movies, and I realize after this episode and after last episode, We've taken these ape movies into directions and probably over sexualized the films more than necessary.
How so, Troy?
Well,
please explain.
I will. I'll read some of the feedback. This one's from our good friend Will. He says, "I need to revisit Monkey Shines. I mostly just remember the sex scene."
Yeah.
Thinking the film wasn't that fantastic and how the quadriplegic dude took out the monkey in the end by toying with its emotions. Well, hey, Will, you and I have talked a little bit about this. Revisit it. If you look at it through the eyes of the monkey, it's actually an entertaining little film, but you'll just be mad for 2 hours because people are being just mean to this monkey. So there you go. This one's from Gary. just checked out the Monkey Shines episode. I will agree with you guys. It's not a great film traditionally. I love it for the same reason I love other ape films like it. Make the monkey cute and then make it kill people hilariously. Chakma works like that one on so many levels. It's hard for Chakma to go the different levels because, as we know, Chakma hates doors. Have you guys seen the Chakma film?
I have not.
No, I haven't either. I need to check this out.
Check it out. Yeah.
I will also agree that Romero works half the time, but it is subjective. I love the dark half, but I know there's plenty of hate out there. As far as the para lovemaking scene goes, I would say that monkeys love to watch, and it's hard for old girl to return the favor when he's making with the mouth love and his body doesn't work for her to return the favor. I can see his frustration. That and the tooch. What a good looking man. Hope you guys are well. Hope we can work together soon. That's from Gary.
Well, okay. So maybe that's why he's such an asshole, Troy.
Why?
He can't nut.
Oh, well, okay.
Backed up.
Again, I don't think the intent of either Conga or Monkey Shines.
Maybe Monkey Shines is just all about sexual frustration.
No, I actually don't think it is, but
it could be.
We're going to end on this piece of feedback because
sometimes, Troy, people can have opinions about things, so you don't need to tell them that they're wrong.
Well, if you didn't like Conga, I can tell you you're wrong. I will never tell any of our listeners they're wrong. They're right. But you not liking Conga, that's wrong. That's darn near communist. You're starting to sound like those guys on that podcast that hate your kid because they didn't like King Kong and Godzilla.
Now that's a Godzilla movie.
And
Kong movie.
Yeah, that was really good. It was fantastic. Okay, this one. Man, this is the best thing we've had in a long time. It's from Jacob. It says, I teach film production to high school students, and once a month, I show a movie after school. It's an opportunity for my students to get fully engaged with the movie and have fun. Usually they help me pick, but I realize that most of my students don't really know who Jackie Chan is. Some have a vague notion because of his voice work, but are clueless when it comes to what makes him great. I decided to show them Police Story in the original Cantonese with subs.
Oh!
And yes. They loved it.
Oh!
I had around 20 teenagers cheering Jackie on and marveling at all the amazing stunts. They also found it very funny. One student, who was very critical, told me it was the best action movie he had ever seen. Hopefully this screening opened some doors into Hong Kong cinema for my students. Crazy to think Police Story is almost 40 years old and still impresses new audiences. Given Troy's love of Jackie, I thought he would appreciate my efforts to create new fans. Holy cow, Jacob.
Jacob doing the Lord's work.
Yes.
Bravo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That is amazing. I love this. He also sent
I believe there's a follow-up to that, right?
There is a PS. Says, this year, we have also watched Tremors, Drag Me to Hell, Nacho Libre, Edward Scissorhands, Scott Pilgrim,
yes,
and The Mask. There might be one or two I'm forgetting, but a pretty fun bunch of movies. This is amazing right here. I'm going to end the year with Big Trouble in Little China, which I also showed last year at the end. None of my students had even heard of it, but they all loved it. And those that went last year are excited to watch it again this year. I am too.
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
Is Jacob quite possibly the greatest teacher that ever lived?
Like, it's not even a question.
Get my vote. Yeah,
like,
gets my vote.
Yeah, I mean,
the gates of heaven have opened up, and Jacob gets like a front row seat.
Forget that movie, Stand and Deliver, with Edward James Olmos teaching like kids math. We need a Jacob movie teaching kids Jackie Chan.
Like a Jacob Dangerous Minds movie.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer has nothing on Jacob. It's amazing. I gotta say,
that's awesome. That is amazing. That is awesome.
Well done,
Jacob.
Sir.
You know, well, I guess Tarantino might be a little bit tough for high school kids.
You know, the kids will get there. If he's showing them these films at some point, if they keep their film journey going on their own, they're gonna discover Tarantino, I think.
Well, yeah. So like on a serious note, I think a lot of times there has been a person in our lives who impressed upon us movies. Troy was your father. For me, it was my brothers. John, I'm guessing your father.
My dad.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's always someone who like introduces you to film, and that's like your stepping stone. And I think we take for granted that we had that person, and like Jacob is that influential voice for these kids to look into this medium that they probably don't have an appreciation for. And now they do. And I think that's like a beautiful thing, because he could have created 20 more film lovers. And I think that's amazing. Like kids who will go back and watch 1940s films and film noir and go to the 60s and go to the 70s. It's, you know, some of those kids will never watch another movie again. They're like, that's like a serious movie again. But like to be a kid in high school and to really not have any idea who Jackie Chan is, and to like sit and watch Police Story for the first time, makes me so jealous. Like to be able to go back and be like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like there are films I want to see for the first time again, and thinking about Police Story, be like, wow, that's like that experience. Some of those kids will probably remember that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And they may like school a little bit more because of it too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, so no joke. I like, Jacob is doing something not only with like film, but like just imprinting on kids, like some positive feelings about school and about older people and about just being introduced to cool things.
Yeah.
And discovery. Discovery is like a huge, huge thing.
And that's where I was getting ready to say. I mean, it's completely, wow, you know, astonishing that, you know, there are teachers still out there, right? Because if you have a passion for something, film, and you get to see some of the stuff like Police Story and like, or 1940s, 50s, all a lot of those greats, right? And you either gonna say, yeah, that's cool, or it's really gonna, you know, really drive and ignite more fires in them about their passion with film, and understand that, you know what, you don't have to make an Avengers. You don't have to make all this crazy CGI stuff. Look at these masterpieces. Look at how great these films were and study how they were made and learn. And that's just amazing that he's doing that for those kids. I kudos to you, Jacob.
Yeah, I'll say this. I've never liked this whole like, well, this profession is the hardest profession ever, et cetera. Look, for every job that's out there, you're going to have a group of people that dedicate themselves to it and take that job to a whole new level. And also a group of people who just are barely phoning it in, like everybody has it. And are some jobs more dangerous than others? Absolutely. I'll say this. The teaching profession, I think, is super underrated. It always has been. And if you want a teacher to actually be the best in this profession, they have to go the extra mile, meaning, you know, they're not just in front of a classroom all day. They're doing the extracurricular activities right after school. And when they go home, they're usually grading papers or prepping for the next day. And that's their life for a majority of the year. So the really good teachers who have that type of schedule, like I think the world of them, and I know I'm a little biased because I'm married to one, and I do get to see, you know, that interaction. But I got to tell you, these teachers like Jacob, who after school take that extra time and do more than just the minimum, they should get all the money in the world, to be quite honest, because
absolutely,
those are the people who are actually making the biggest impact on the future. And we don't appreciate that enough or even say that enough.
Yeah. Especially
good on you, Jacob. For real.
Yeah.
Cause it's not often they're in an environment where their passions are allowed to go, beyond the normal school day, right? He goes that extra step. That's awesome. That's amazing.
And I do want to thank everybody. So the social post, I feel like this week just lit up. We had some great dialogue from either, I don't know, Instagram, Facebook messaging, just the posts themselves. Everybody was having a good time with the monkey shines.
Here's a little hint behind the scenes, Troy. Anytime we do a horror movie, it's gigantic. The horror community is amazing. they're complete nut jobs. Like, you talk about a horror adjacent film like Monkey Shines, and they come out of the woodwork and will listen to your show. Then they crawl back into their, you know, their little dungeon, and then you do another horror movie, they come back out. But they're always here to support you when you do horror films. So we appreciate that.
I love it. So if they want to send their thoughts on 1961's Conga, Brad, how do they get a hold of us?
Well, also, I wanted to mention, at the time of this recording, Conga is showing on Amazon Prime. So if you're curious and want to either waste 90 minutes or have fun for 90 minutes, it is on Amazon Prime. So you can watch it there. What was the question? Oh, to get a hold of us. That is notabombpodcast@gmail.com. Am I doing the right thing, Troy? Am I screwing up?
No, I think it's why we do this all the time. You're like,
I know.
I'm not listening to you. What question did you ask? Wait,
okay. Or you can head over to notabombpodcast.com, hit the contact us button, or hit us up on Instagram, Facebook, or X. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what are we talking about next week?
Well, next week, Troy, we have an Academy Award winner coming to our show.
Yeah.
We are talking about 2001's black comedy, Monkey Bone.
Yes. Ooh. And we're going to have, I'm not going to. And
holy shit, yeah. Troy. The guests.
We're going to have some. Yeah, we're going to have some guests, some folks that we've been talking to for a while. And I think, Brad, you and I are probably the most excited about this just because we're hopefully going to get some time to ask some questions about what they do behind the scenes and how they do what they do, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So
people will want to listen.
I would say it this way, even people who love physical media, people who love cult films, and just people who love interesting people are going to want to listen to that episode. Cause I'm pretty excited about who's coming on to the show.
Correct. Yeah, it is. We have a myriad of awesome guests, and all of them are our friends and all that. But this next one is a whole other level.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
No offense, John.
No. I'm excited.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I think with that, we should probably talk about, before we list all the other shows that we usually promote, you're going to get a lot of content from us probably in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
We are putting together an episode that we just recorded with Michelle Meek, Professor Michelle Meek. She's over working on her Dutch. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Netherlands.
Yeah, in the Netherlands. She's teaching and doing seminars, actually working on a film. And we scheduled some time to talk with her. We have Not a Bomb Classics coming up. It's right around the corner, right, Brad? What movie is that one?
We were talking about 1931's Fritz Lang's M.
Yes. And we're also guesting on a bunch of shows in May. We've been kind of pushing some things off just because of scheduling, but
mm-hmm.
It looks like we're going to get on a bunch of other shows that have asked us on, and we'll do that in May. So for the next 30 days, probably 30, 40 days, you're going to hear a lot of us all over the place.
Your cup will runneth over with Not a Bomb.
It will. But Brad, who else should they be listening to when they're not listening to us?
Yeah, they should listen to Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema, Watch Skip Plus, even though they did not love Godzilla X Kong enough. The VHS Files, Night of the Living Podcast, the Backlook Cinema Podcast, the Mixtape Podcast, Movie Struck, and Raiders of the Podcast. Shout out to Kevin. Kevin got that Future Noir book.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about Blade Runner. And he's going to try to make time to read that, which who has time to read?
Yeah, he's doing some YouTube shorts.
He usually does a...
is it a weekly?
I want to say it's weekly. It might be more than that sometimes. Sometimes he's off straight out of the gym, so he's hot and sweaty, which makes me happy. Or other times he just does it in the bed. Did I say the quiet part out loud, Troy?
You said the quiet part out loud again. And if you're over at YouTube, Check out John and Mike and now for something a little bit different. Their show is fantastic. They're doing a lot of interesting films over there. So I would love for us to dip our toes into YouTube, but we just don't have time. We're trying to get this thing out and it's a bear, to be quite honest. Plus, who wants to see our, I mean,
and we're ugly.
Yeah. We have a face for podcasting, not YouTube.
Yep. Make a northbound train, take a southbound dirt road.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well,
I don't know what that means, but it sounds really mean.
Yeah, John, I'm kind of offended, but I don't know. I don't know how you offended me, but I'm sorry.
Also, yeah. If you like this train wreck of a podcast, please leave us a review on wherever you get your podcast, wherever you're listening to this show. Please, it helps us. I don't know how it helps us, but you know, everyone always says to rate, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? You know, share.
Seems like it helps. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure it doesn't hurt. Well, how about that?
It doesn't hurt.
Rate us. It doesn't hurt.
John, thank you so much. I know it's been sort of busy for you at work. You're kind of like Brad and I feel like all we do is work of lately. But with your busy schedule, we love you so much. Thanks for taking time to talk with us, especially about giant ape films.
No, thank you guys again. Yeah, it's been a while, but man, still love you guys. And I can't wait for us to get together and watch Conga TNT.
Yeah, that's going to be a watch in September. That's definitely happening. I love it. Anything else, Brad? Is that everything's done? Housekeeping? Good.
All the everything boxes is checked? Done.
Cool. All right. Well,
we checked the box, Troy.
We checked the box. I don't know if you're listening in the morning, the afternoon, or evening. Thanks for stopping by and hearing our thoughts on Conga. Come back next week. We're going to talk about a really interesting dark comedy with some amazing folks. And we hope you like the big surprise. So we'll see you then.
Ook, ook.